Best Scoops is proudly produced by News Scoop.
Good day. Welcome to Biz Scoops for business news, local and international. I'm Barry Murray. On today's show, Parliament says it will meet the deadlines for the adoption of the 2025 fiscal framework and revenue proposals, and Chery will introduce 19 new energy vehicles in South Africa throughout this year. The economist, Waldo Krichel, also talks about what we can expect when the minister tables his new budget. In international business news, BP may be forced to cut or even scrap its share buyback program over the next year unless oil prices recover. In investment news, a new trading platform is making its debut, and we'll check in with Chris Hutting from the Center for Risk Analysis to talk about racial employment laws that are being ratcheted up in South Africa under the transformation objectives of the ANC.
A look now at local business news.
Parliament says it will meet the deadlines for the adoption of the 2025 fiscal framework and revenue proposals. According to the law, Parliament must adopt the budget before the end of July. Finance Minister Enoch Godongwana announced the reversal of this year's fiscal framework and revenue proposals last week. He is now expected to table a new budget next month. This will be the third time the budget is tabled this year. The Minister of Small Business Development, Stella Ndabeni-Abrahams, says the ocean economy is South Africa's next gold mine. Ndabeni-Abrahams addressed the first provincial G20 launch in the Eastern Cape yesterday. She says she wants small businesses to participate in the ocean economy. Ndabeni-Abrahams says a group of cooperatives from Obega have received fishing rights and infrastructure assistance. The minister says everyone must benefit from the ocean's economy. And Chinese car manufacturer Chery will introduce 19 new energy vehicles in South Africa throughout this year. Chery said that the 19 hybrid models are available across the hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and range extender electric vehicle categories. The first of these 19 cars was unveiled at Auto Shanghai 2025. General Manager for Chery South Africa, JJ Buertus, says he believes super hybrid technology will become a key growth driver in South Africa, especially as they expand their local lineup with electrified models later this year. We now have the President of the Economic Society of South Africa, Professor Waldo Krichel, on the line with us. Waldo, where are we now in terms of the Minister's new budget?
One part of the story concerns the politics of the budget process. The entire sequence of events, from the first budget that was not delivered, the second that was narrowly approved with conditions that arguably could not have been imposed, and the eventual court proceedings regarding the VAT law, has demonstrated the political landscape has changed. The impact of a 0.5 percentage point VAT increase on the poor or on the inflation rate would not have been significant. However, after years of corruption and mismanagement, there's nothing that unites ordinary South Africans quite like a tax revolt. The other part of the story is about how the minister plans to fill the gap. An amount of 75 billion rands has been mentioned, but this is over the three-year medium-term budget period. For this year, the VAT increase was expected to raise 13.5 billion. We know that after the presentation of the second budget, SARS announced that they had collected about 10 billion rand more than budgeted for last year. So in reality, the minister already has most of the funds needed to cover this year's shortfall. It will be interesting to see whether anything does, in fact, get cut. The bigger issue is the credibility of achieving a primary surplus and stabilizing the debt-to-GDP ratio. The IMF does not believe that the current three-year plan will stabilize government debt at around 75% of GDP, and they forecast that debt will reach 88% of GDP by 2030. They are more conservative in their assumptions about tax buoyancy and also do not think that it will be possible to cut spending as is currently suggested in the MTBPS. It will be interesting to see whether the minister will revise the economic forecasts when he now has to present the budget documentation to Parliament again, this time without the VAT increase. In the interim, Treasury has received the fourth quarter growth figures from last year to use in their modeling, and following the various Trump shocks, almost every institution has already lowered their growth forecasts for this year. The budget is certainly not out of the news yet. However, for the Government of National Unity, it's important to move on to other reform processes that urgently require attention. Faster economic growth can only happen if investor confidence and investment increase sharply, and for that, we need reforms that excite investors.
Thanks very much, Professor Waldo Krichel, President of the Economic Society of South Africa. He's also an Economics Associate at the Northwest University's Business School. If you'd like to hear more from Prof. Krichel, you can listen to his daily podcast called The Economic Minute on Spotify or Anchor FM.
Time now to take a look at your international business news.
U.S. President Donald Trump reportedly called Amazon founder Jeff Bezos after news emerged that Amazon considered showing customers the cost of trade tariffs on its discount site Amazon Haul. Amazon said it explored the idea but dropped it, and it was never intended for the main site. The White House's strong reaction highlights growing pressure over the new import taxes, which analysts warn could raise consumer prices and heighten recession risks. Analysts warn that BP could be compelled to reduce or halt its share buyback programs in the coming year if oil prices don't rebound. Such a move would likely add further strain to its already lagging stock performance. In recent years, oil giants and other resource companies have leaned more heavily on buybacks and dividends to return value to shareholders. According to three analysts, BP's challenge lies in the possibility that continued low oil prices may undermine its ability to maintain the buyback initiative, deepening the gap between BP and its better-performing competitors.
Coming up next, our investment segment delves into the world of finance and wealth building.
A majority of private equity investors see South Africa and Kenya as their top investment destinations over the next 3 years. This is according to the African Private Capital Association's latest report. More than 65% of the general partners at private equity firms identified the two nations as their preferred choice. About 50% of respondents also named Egypt and Nigeria. Still, more than a third were pessimistic about raising funds this year because of depreciating currencies in countries on the continent and US President Donald Trump's policies. Before we say goodbye, we're joined today by the head of policy analysis at the Center for Risk Analysis, Chris Hutting. Chris, thanks for joining us. The tax hike was halted and the GNU survived. What does this mean for South Africa and our economy?
In light of the VAT hike being cast aside, but also now the requirement that Minister Gordon Gwana and Treasury need to bring and deliver a new fiscal framework and effectively a new budget. This could be positive in the sense that it opens up space for a truly different budget to be presented with the sort of policies and spending priorities that the country needs to get on a growth path, or it could lead to more uncertainty for investors and for markets, which of course is negative for economic growth and investor sentiment.
With the decision about the VAT increase, does this mean the country is now without a budget?
This past Sunday, the Speaker of the National Assembly issued a memorandum confirming that the court order that was handed down by the Western Cape in the case between the DA, the EFF, and the Minister of Finance, that court order will enable the Minister of Finance to table the budget instruments afresh. So this effectively means that all the various bills, the fiscal framework, etc., etc., all things associated with South Africa's budget now need to be reworked and retabled, and again passed by various committees as well as by Parliament.
Can you tell us more about the latest Ipsos survey?
The latest survey conducted by a polling company Ipsos surveyed over 3,600 randomly selected participants. The margin of error for the survey was plus or minus 1.7%. One of the most noteworthy questions and the responses that Ipsos asked was how respondents felt about the government of national unity. When respondents were asked whether they thought service delivery had improved over the last few months since the inception of the GNU, 40% disagreed compared to 36% who agreed. And in response to the statement, "Overall, people like me are satisfied with how the GNU is performing," 42% disagreed and 35% agreed. So while things haven't turned massively against the GNU completely in terms of sentiment, there are more and more South Africans who are skeptical and frustrated with the GNU, especially that it isn't delivering in terms of higher growth and lowering unemployment.
And that was Chris Hutting from the Center for Risk Analysis. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with more business news, local and international, on BizScoops. I'm Barry Murray. Goodbye.
And this was another edition of BizScoops, proudly produced by News Scoop.